Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
You are listening to Talks Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. Talks Machina airs live at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, and it's also uploaded to youtube.com/Critical Role on Thursday mornings. If you like our podcast, please rate and review it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Without further ado, here's this week's episode of Talks Machina. Are we on the internet?
Oh, what's that? What's that, Henry? Fort stuck in the well?
Oh no.
Oh no.
Fort stuck in the well. Tonight, the Mighty Nine meet the Mentor, fight some seductive fiends, and travel down a well. We're going to break it all down with Marisha Ray, Travis Willingham. Mm-hmm. As always, Henry, the lovely Danny Cam.
Goes butt to the audience today.
All that and more tonight on Talks Machina. We're back, my friends. We have some announcements, but first, who in their right mind would be brave enough to sponsor a show like this?
Only a fool.
Only the fools we love at the Rook and the Raven, who are back sponsoring this week's episode of Talks Machina.
They trust us.
They do trust us. Oof. How amazing.
They make good
stuff. We love them. And they make great stuff. They are makers of high-quality notebooks specifically designed for RPGs, like the one I'm holding. Rook and the Raven's actually going to be at ECCCCCC, which we're going to be at this weekend, as well as C2E2E2E2 in Chicago this
like
month.
Your own echo built in.
Uh-huh.
C2E2E2.
Saves us money on having to hire a sound guy.
Smart.
To celebrate two of their favorite artists, they're offering a special bundle with a limited release cover design that will only be available until March 24th. So check them out on Twitter at TheRookTheRaven for more information or visit TheRookTheRaven.com. Azalaj.
Oh my god.
Wow.
You ready, Zach? Azalaj.
Oh,
Critical Role. To reserve your bundle now and get $10 off your order. Now these are cool. We use these in our home campaign.
I love them. I'm obsessed.
There's so many cool little spots. So this is before I became an adventurer, so you can sort of write some of your backstory. Clothing, appearance, it's all like really cool.
Yeah,
hey, new Greg, let's transition to you. And then you can also add like little character sheet stuff. Oh man, it's
all
so
cool.
All
spells and spell slots.
Yes, there's room for notes.
And
it's
they've got
so
like
awesome.
Little plastic covers so you can dry erase.
Right.
Yep. It's great.
Every
because you burned through how many so far in this campaign?
I'm on journal number 2 and I'm almost out.
Sounds right.
Wow. Yeah, every
I have paper to mine too.
Really? Oh yeah,
you can add paper. You can get like filler packs.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Every game when we ask our players for a recap of what happened, they all go to these journals and read to us of their misdeeds. Announcements. Henry is smelling it. Same thing I do to the wormwood. It's in the family. He knows that's how you test for a quality product. Does it smell good?
There goes that sale.
Yeah.
it?
Right.
It's like when the dogs alert on my car, the police dogs, you know, when they alert and it allows the police to search it. We are headed back to Indianapolis for Gen Con 2019. This will be my third, your guys' fourth time. And in the tradition of the last few years, that means a live show in Indianapolis. And that live show will be Friday, August 2nd. VIP tickets are on sale next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern. 10 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, right, not Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
I got
general admission tickets will be on sale the next day, Wednesday, March 20th at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Eastern, not Pacific.
Not Pacific, my friend. Yep. This daylight saving time, it's saving, by the way, not savings. But this daylight saving time has really messed me up.
It's driving me crazy.
Is it really not savings?
It's saving.
That's dumb.
I don't know
It's very dumb,
that.
But it's
no,
also
I don't
true.
Like it.
Somebody tried to tell me that it's not take it for granted.
Take it for granted?
Yeah.
What are you taking, a countertop?
Oh, Travis.
Well, I don't know, granite's hard, right? Like, you don't want to take it for granite. What if it's like, you know, quartz or...
You don't want to take it hard,
You're
Travis?
You're fucking with me right now.
You don't want to take it hard as granite? Is that what you thought it meant?
Yeah.
Wow.
God damn it, Travis Willingham.
And...
I'm so gullible.
Our official Tox Machina panel at Gen Con.
He works it out of you over time.
Live within the line.
Will take place on Saturday, August 3rd at 1 p.m. We're not even started.
No.
Also, we're headed to Emerald City Comic-Con, Iconicon, this weekend. Check out all of the details for Gen Con and ECEC 3PO at critroll.com /. Events.
Oh man, wow. Seattle, we're coming.
Asleep at the switch. We're coming, Seattle. Okay, on to the elephantitis in the room, the animated series.
Oh.
We have crossed some incredible milestones so far this week, my friends. 7 million big ones.
Man, so cool. So cool.
I thought now, a week later.
So pumped.
I thought a week later it would start sort of setting in,
and
that we would become callous to the, you know, the news every time there's a milestone. No, I say it's the opposite.
Nope.
We are dumbfounded.
It's insane.
Yep.
No, it takes time to process this shit.
I haven't had time to process this.
No,
shit.
No, we just gotta keep going.
Yeah. We have to keep. That's the thing is the Kickstarter happened. That's like, holy shit. And then it was like, oh shit, we have a show in 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's awesome. We have a lot of.
Yeah.
So it's business as usual.
It's like a new expletive every time. Plus, we've started reviewing the Briarwood arc going through like what are our favorites, what are the things that we want to make sure we get in.
And
oh my god, I'm so excited.
So many hours.
We're so close to two more episodes, and that just makes it so much better.
That's a lot.
Hanging tree.
That's a lot. That's a lot you could put in those two episodes.
Yep.
That arc. I to see it animated. That's why I gave you guys $1 million of my bucks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, by the way.
Thank God you're rich.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You and Sam Riegel, the other mill.
Did you say the other milf?
The other.
50,000 backers, too. What about that? That's crazy.
Bananas.
We can't even express how we feel, obviously. We just tried. You guys have made that happen, our community. It's fun to see articles about this and to see the community mentioned as like, these guys are this crazy fandom, and you don't want to fuck with them.
Yeah.
If you see a flash mob of critters, don't worry about them. Just let them do their thing.
Act like they do. Say what they say. Uh-huh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Ask where Larkin is.
Ask
and you'll
where
be
Larkin
fine.
Is. Yeah, that's the ultimate like bouncer at a club password.
Right.
Where's Larkin?
Right this
way.
All right,
way,
come on
man.
In.
Right this way.
Get the fuck in.
Hey, to check out our Kickstarter campaign or to make a pledge, please visit critroll.com/animated. Without further ado, let us discuss episode 54 of Critical Role Campaign 2, Well Beneath. You see, there's a double meaning. Gotten a lot of emails. We're back.
So stupid.
Every Tuesday night, I check my email during that break. Check out my shirt.
I was about to comment on it.
Oh, it's so nice.
So I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the Dark Horse promo, but
I didn't know if it was too shameless, but yeah.
It's not too shameless.
Yeah, no shame.
It's just something we made for the channel. It's probably on our website, and it's on our Twitter, the Dark Horse promo starring Max James as the Dark Horse.
Yes.
Fewer things that we have made at this channel have I been more proud of
than that.
We've been as always, the Yeehaw Game Ranch.
As always, Marisha and I write these promos 5 minutes before we have to shoot them. Because someone comes in and goes, what are we doing today? Oh, we're shooting that promo. Oh, that's right.
Shit.
You better write that promo. We're about to shoot. And then we wrote that one and the Game Ranch one.
See, in my mind, you guys are locked in a room and someone just dumps a box of like Spree and Pixie Sticks on the table and you just OD on them and then write that crap.
It's not
far from
too
that.
Far off. Mm-hmm. That's why we go through so many fruit snacks.
Yeah, there's a lot of fruit snacks.
There's never any more.
A lot of fruit snacks.
Yes.
We are keeping them in business.
We are keeping fucking Welch's fruit snacks in business.
That is the sponsored snack.
Yeah, we are. It's been known for a while. We are in the pocket of Big Fruit Snack.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have some crit roll stats for this episode. The episode 54. It's been 117 days and 38 episodes since Bo last trained directly with Dairon.
In real time?
Correct.
In game time,
Real game time.
Oh. Oh. Yeah,
some time's gone by.
And
that's why she's been a little rusty. It's just not Bo's fault.
Yep.
It sounds like an excuse to me. Bo has used 132 key points.
Oh.
So how many do you have right now?
Eight.
Eight at level eight?
Yeah, you get one monk level.
Per monk level as you go up. There is some crazy shit you can do. I was reading through Monk the other night on D&D Beyond, and there's some crazy shit you're
gonna
be able to do.
That, like, the way the open hand class, it's
tell
nuts.
Me. I don't know.
Oh, didn't Mac just release something, too?
Yes, he updated the Cobalt Soul class
little
bit and kind of rearranged some of the abilities.
Go to Matt's Twitter if you haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, the ability that I had where I can spend a key point to get an additional reaction per turn, he bumped. So I've temporarily lost that until level, 11, I think, now.
Thanks, Matt.
And but now I get, if someone misses me with an attack, I can use my reaction to retaliate with an unhanded offhanded strike.
Sick.
Yeah.
Should you be fighting one of us like once a day, just before you go to bed?
She fights herself every day. It's
oh
fine.
Boy, you went that route. I'm in. Ford played so brilliantly this campaign by you, Travis.
Thanks. This campaign.
Ford has cast Misty Step 11 times via the Summer's Dance falchion.
Falchion?
He says falchion around the office.
Falchion.
You also do not need to shout Eldritch Blast from the bathroom every time you pee. We are so fucking over
it. How are you supposed to know that I'm casting it?
Marisha.
Yeah.
Let's get started with the show.
Okay.
With the question from Kenny Linden.
Kenny L.
If you managed to beat Dairon, she would have been revealed, her mission ruined, and her life would have been in great danger.
Dude.
Is Bo relieved that she lost, and are you?
Yes, and yes. Like, double yes.
Double yes.
Bo feels pretty good about our display in the Four Corners, her and Jester both. We did pretty good.
Yeah.
She didn't win, but as soon as Dairon dropped that disguise, it was like,
Do you think we're fighting that whole tavern if you knock her unconscious?
100%. I think so. She is a wanted member of the Empire in the middle of a bar filled with mercenary beast people.
Sounds like an ideal place to be.
Yeah.
I think it would have gone very bad. Either we would have been fighting the bar, or they would have been dragging her off and we would have had two people to rescue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yikes. Quite the relief.
Yeah.
Kick your ass.
Travis.
Yes.
Drowsy Draws wants to know. Good time to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Ford has expressed a lot of interest in Caduceus' relationship with the Wild Mother. Is he simply trying to develop a sense of how to engage with the greater being, or is he considering reaching out to her or another deity himself?
Oh, great question. Drowsy draws. Yes, that, yeah, yes to both of those things. A, trying to figure out how someone else can commune with a higher power, since it just seems to be a one-way road for Ford. And two, if he's gonna subvert or find some way to get around this sort of this pact, this obligation, then it seems to make sense that you would need to enlist the help of somebody equally as powerful, maybe to offset some of the risk or exposure a little bit. And he has no idea, neither do I, of who those deities are.
Yeah.
I don't read ahead. I don't study up as much as I should. But I also don't want to, because that's less chance of like metagaming, and I like the surprise, right? So I don't, not knowing
what ahead.
Well, like, I don't dive into the player's handbook or any other sources that really give a background into who the deities are, who was opposite sides of, you know, what struggle or who might help in that regard.
Oh,
you know?
I see, yeah.
So, I mean, I've had ideas like, do I take a class in, you know, paladin or something else, and I become a you know, I have no idea how to do it. So I like it when I see someone else like Caduceus talking to their, you know, deity, and, you know, maybe there's something to be gained from that. Maybe I can be like, can you put in a good word with the Wild Mother?
Yeah.
You
know?
Is there a wait list?
Yeah.
A wait list.
Can you bump me into the front of the, you know?
Yeah.
Is it collect?
With how busy the weeks are, how often do you guys, Thursday to Thursday, how often are you able to like go into your sheet and like look everything over, look at your notes from the last session? You know, because you guys have said before on this show dozens of times, obviously none of us have time. You guys don't have time to watch the show back each week.
The bathroom's good for that.
I know that Liam literally sits down and like listens to Critical Recap.
Yeah.
I've seen him do that before. That's, it makes smart. Me happy.
You know, like, Danny's a godsend around here in many ways.
Yeah, that's, I mean, seriously, you are the living encyclopedia that we can turn to if Matt's not around.
I try to go through my notes and clean them up and get like a refresher. And luckily I don't have the problem being a monk that I had with Keyleth, where,
The spells.
So there's all the spells in history that have ever been made.
You're also a really good note taker. Like you get that stuff down. It depends on the week, right? There are some days where we come in right before the game on Thursday and we're like, what the fuck happened last week? Because we haven't thought or talked about it at all.
And sometimes
there's text threads in there. We're planning and plotting and we're watching the episodes back. Because sometimes when you're staring Mercer dead in the eye in the middle of a moment, you're catching like 45% of that shit. Because that gaze is for real.
Well, and you're also thinking about how what he's saying is impacting you, what of it you feel like you really need to remember for the bigger storyline and all of that stuff. And then as a DM, it's hard because you don't want to like put too much out at once, because then it's like overwhelming and then people don't remember stuff and then you get mad at them and then you have to kill them.
Feels,
I think that's right.
Marisha.
Specific,
Miss Sunflower 94 has a question for you. Looking at you, Will Friedle. How does, Sunflower. You guys think, okay, so here, let me let you in on something. You guys think, you know, Will Friedle, such a nice guy, so great. He must be just the best person to have in your D&D game. He talks a lot of shit, man. Real shit talker.
Dish.
But a great player, though.
He's smart. He's
fucking
real smart.
We have to, there has been so many battle plans we've made up where I'm like, Will's going to see through this like that.
Yep.
He read some book where they explained it.
Yeah. He got it from like his brother-in-law where it was like medieval battle techniques and theories, and he read the whole thing just so he'd be better at D&D, but I think that was part of what he said to me.
Well, he did that with Cash, remember? He came in and he was with us for like 20 minutes and he's like, you guys all suck at this. And we're like, oh, okay. all right.
You're right. You're correct.
Sorry, I'm not Sansu over here.
He's the DM riddle crusher, right? If the DM makes a riddle and they're like, let them chew on this for 10 minutes, he's like, I figured it out.
I got it. Yeah. Yep. Bastard. Marisha.
Yes.
Distract us from Will Friedle's genius and lack of good looks with answer this question from Miss Sunflower 94. How does Beau feel about being told that her good work should go unnoticed? After spending a lot of her childhood feeling unseen, does that outlook help or hurt?
I mean, it was a reality slap to bow, which is great, and is kind of what I've been waiting as a player for her to kind of have in game. And sometimes it takes a mentor and someone, you know, sometimes it takes those simple things to realize that maybe you're being a petty, impetulant child about things.
Yeah.
And being like, I'm doing everything for the like, it is inherently flawed to be like, watch me do these good things. Everybody watch me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it, her
look
just.
Look what I can do.
Look at all this. Yeah, I think that's, she just needed somebody to tell her like, what's why, like, is that why you're doing it for attention?
Yeah.
And maybe there's this like voice in the back of Bo's head that was like, fuck, you have been doing this for attention. And then she reevaluates and then moves on.
Are you trying to impress?
For attention though? Aren't we all doing everything for attention
all
though?
The time, for sure.
I mean, that's why I spend 2 hours on my hair every morning.
2 hours?
Shout out to Jerry, who went to the store and got me a blow dryer today.
Yo, Jerry, doing the God's work.
Is Jerry still here, Max?
Most unenthusiastic. Yeah.
Some days I wonder if Max wants to be here.
Are we holding him against
Are you
his
okay,
will?
Man?
We might be.
Did you stay out raving last night too late?
He was he had the graveyard shift, right?
Yeah.
The cop.
Yeah, he sure did.
His other job.
Travis.
Yes.
Chris Gatlin wants to know, we know Ford is an orphan. Seeing other orcs, does he have any desire to connect with that culture, or does he identify more with humans?
Yeah, pure panic every time he sees orcs. I remember early in the campaign, there was an orc out in that like shack out in the woods, and I was like, I'm going to stay out here, and so I didn't get to converse, and so when the two walked up in the middle of the square, I was more concerned with making sure that Caleb was okay, and then he was just fine all by himself, you know, doubled in size, just kind of played it off. But to me, there's almost like a false expectation with Ford. I think he wants to sit down and have a drink with an orc and be like, tell me about you. Like tell me what you do. Are the rumors true? Like, do you sack towns and villages and ruin people's lives? And is that because that's what everybody does, or is it just in your blood and that's what you want to do? And I'm sure that, especially after that conversation and them being so like that, like, oh god, these guys aren't conversationalists. What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's the stupidest expectation ever.
Yeah. Let's get coffee.
Yeah. They'd be like, what?
Lunch.
Yeah. So that changed a little bit. I thought there might be a little bit more past this, like, you're a tiny one. And I was like, oh fuck, I am. Yeah. You know? So yeah, I think
I was in the pool.
I felt rough. Yeah, I think there's just a little bit of him wanting to like know more about that part of himself.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of orcs around in Port Damali, so yeah, every time he sees one, he's kind of wanting to go like, hey,
so many questions.
Hey, yeah, can I?
Yeah.
Can I know? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's how I am with you guys.
I know, poor bastard.
So I was going to ask you something earlier, and I forgot. I'd probably transition to a great joke or something instead.
Thinking out loud.
Does part of Bo respect when someone calls her out?
100%.
I had that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. She needs that. Like, she's kind of a bully, you know, and I think she's going to get, and she knows it, so she's going to respect people if they, like, push back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just one of those people. The only way you're going to get her attention is by, you know.
Getting her attention.
Yeah. And that's, I'm not saying that's healthy.
A lot of the actions that you guys are doing are not, but there's no room to grow if you guys, I mean, we've had this conversation about the difference between Vox Machina and the Mighty Nein 2 is like those typical sort of archetype characters. And then it's easy to me to see why you guys changed direction a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, half of fleshing out a character, I mean, we're still only level 8 is, you know, just throwing pasta at the wall and seeing if it was the absolute wrong thing to do. And if you live, you're like, okay, maybe I do it differently next time.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do things correctly or properly from the get-go? I mean, that's just safe. Like, you know, you got to see what those boundaries are, just like any kid, adolescent, whatever, 100%. You know? Yeah.
That is not my thought process on anything at all. I'm like, I have to be perfect immediately.
No.
I have to do it exactly right from the very first time.
See, that might be life, but that's what this is for, I feel like.
I can't even do it in D&D. I can't. It's
really?
Killing me playing a druid right now in our like home, in our like staff game, because I don't know
so
how to play a druid. And I'm just like, should've just fucking played a cleric. Should've just played a cleric. I played a cleric a million times. I'm really good at playing a cleric. Yep. Anyway, I'm sorry, I digress.
No, it makes sense.
That's why, like, yeah, like you said, like, one, D&D teaches you about yourself. Two, it teaches you about other people and how they think when you just, you know, it's as trite as it is, that old adage of you don't really know somebody until you walk 1,000 miles in their shoes.
Totally.
It's kind of true, and that's kind of what you do with D&D is, like, I mean, Taliesin talks about it all the time. So many of the personality traits we pull from are influenced from people in our real lives or people that you've known before.
Yes.
I didn't like people like Keyleth until I didn't understand them as much until I was Keyleth for four years.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
4 years ago on this day, Critical Role premiered.
Dude, yes, 4 years ago. Holy crap, is that right? That's wild, man.
A lot has happened in 4 years.
Sitting in my house in Memphis watching you guys.
Fuck.
On my computer.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds about right. To being in here now.
Man.
We have a comic. Working on an animated show.
Gonna make some tunes.
Gonna make some tunes, Keith.
That's crazy. 4 years.
Our books.
It went by so fast.
It feels like we still just got started.
So much eating.
One day people will realize.
Eating back then.
No idea what we're doing.
Too much eating. Lots of crunchies.
You mean on the show?
Yes. There's too much crunchies.
Oh, we had like whole plates of fried chicken and fries.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
I didn't want
what,
Travis licking each one of his individual fingers like it was Hannibal Lecter with the delicious hand of like some messenger.
I still do it. I got into a big chicken burrito the other day and I regretted it. Yeah. I saw all the like stuff.
Yeah.
Laura was sending me stuff from Tumblr and I was like, all right, maybe not the best idea. But when you don't have time to eat sometimes.
Yeah, think before you scarf. Yeah. I've been saying it for years.
I refuse.
Marisha.
Yes.
Cobalt lesbian.
Mm? Oh.
You're not gonna believe this. Has a question for you. Bo's left comment seemed to say a great deal about her relationship with Dairon and how them leaving affected her. Dairon appears to be the only authority figure that she has deep respect for. Why is that? The only authority figure she has deep respect for.
She was the first authority figure who didn't kind of give up on Bo and kind of like toss her to the side and think that she was too difficult to be worth investing time into. Mm. So yeah, she definitely has a deep connection, but I mean, Bo also deals with abandonment issues from her parents tossing her over to the monks and kind of giving up on her. So yeah, I mean, it's a little abandonment issues coming through.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm dying to get some more of that. I'm trying to get some more of that Bo backstory. There's some, I feel like.
The surface is only just been scratched.
Yeah, we have not gotten enough. But when we get there, it's probably gonna be fucking crazy. It's probably gonna be insane.
Are you really a human?
Nah.
Bo is evil the entire time.
No, it's Ford. I've been saying it for years.
Me?
Yeah, I've been saying it for 3 years. It's going to be Ford.
Hold on. Do I sound evil?
That's not your real accent.
Ukato.
Do I sound evil?
Yes.
Okay.
Turns out, Bo, Ukatoa the whole time.
Oh, shit.
Bo-Katoa.
That's how he's always watching.
Isn't that a place?
Bo-Katoa?
Yeah.
Either that or it was one of those
Boca
like.
Boca Raton?
Yeah, Bo.
Yes, Bo-Katoa is the place.
In,
yep.
Way down in Bo-Katoa.
Go look for it. The next fire festival is in Bo-Katoa.
Oh, no. Someone's going to Google that and it's going to actually be a place.
I'm going to get home and the Bo-Katoa fire festival is going to be trending on Twitter with fan art of people in tents.
Get your tickets now, jet skis and cheese sandwiches.
Yep. Jamiroquai is going to perform.
Oh, man, that cheese sandwich.
Hey, guys. Otter Owl 2013 wants to know.
Okay.
Travis.
Yes.
How does Ford feel in the City of Beasts? Are there parts of him that feel more or less comfortable here compared with the Empire slash the Menage a Trois Coast? Why?
Menage a Trois Coast.
That's not what it's called. Someone get Mercer on the phone.
That's a great question. He feels more comfortable. There are less people looking. I mean, he sees the eyes that are on the group, but the eyes aren't on him. They're on Bo, they're on Caleb, they're on a little bit on Yasha. I mean, it's not him that's the center of focus. So he feels more comfortable. I think he feels out of place because, you know, it's just a different sort of society than what he's used to in the south of the Empire. But yeah, it's having a weird effect, you know?
You know what I noticed? That photo that was from the photo shoot we did day after Ashley and I got engaged. At the you like to put one of your feet on top of the other, sort of. Steve, if you don't mind, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it's a power move.
Is it a power move?
Yeah,
seems interesting. Opposed to does your bottom foot start hurting after a while?
Some people they like to hug themselves. When I'm sitting, I like to make sure that my feet know where each other are.
I want to try this.
Give it a shot. Yeah, let's go ahead and.
That's how it is.
That doesn't look super comfortable.
And it's not, because after an hour or so, one of those feet will fall asleep.
That's what I was gonna say.
And then you
also,
flip that
this
bitch.
It's such a very dude's thing to do. I can't sit like this. You are looking like this is like you can see up whatever skirt I am wearing.
Oh,
like I can't sit
little,
like this and like be lady-like.
Yeah, I mean this is a man spreading issue. Yeah.
I know where everything is in this position,
look
right?
Look how derpy we look though.
All right. Zach, it's time for gift of the week. Time to celebrate gifts. Our winner for Campaign 2, Episode 54, was sent in by Carmel at Makes Weird Art or Makes Wired Art.
No, that's Weird Art.
Let's take a look.
Serious table? Party table? Oh, no, I'm going to get in trouble.
Serious table.
Party table, mimosas. Every table is its own magical mix.
The clip
talents.
Where she goes for the drink, when she goes for the drink, I lost it.
There was some serious shit going on. I looked over, they're doing fucking tattoos and stuff, and I was trying to give the husband look like. What's happening?
That shirt.
It doesn't.
Is
that the husband?
That
look?
Shirt gave me nightmares.
Yeah, it's not a real thing.
Those cocktails, by the way.
Oh yeah,
super
shout
great.
Out to Henry, Alex, and Tyler.
Yeah.
We had three bartenders from New York that all work at amazing, very, very nice, high quality bars. Reach out to us after the first season of Between the Sheets. And say, do you want help making cocktails for season 2? And I was like, oh God, please.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so we flew them out last week, and they were here helping me shoot some stuff. And they made drinks for you guys on Thursday night, and they were
so
fantastic.
Damn good. They even had a little mini menu for us to choose from.
Yeah,
we
made a menu.
We named all of the drinks. One of them was called the Ford Swallower. Instead of the sword swallower.
That's right. It was the old-fashioned one, so it was good.
Yeah.
It was good, just like Ford.
Anyway, congrats to you, Carmel. Or Carmel. I don't know. I give up. You have won this.
Whispered Wah.
Really did.
There it goes.
Whispered 1T, designed by Lauren Ipsum. Available at shop.
.critroll.com. It's so good.
Fuck your wish
Amazing
spell.
Designed by Lauren.
Fuck your wish spell.
Yeah, right.
Moving on.
There you go. That's fine. You're good.
Feed
you got this.
Hold on. I got an email here from Matt. You bastard.
That sounds about right.
Poultrygeist has a question for both of you.
I wonder if
poultrygeist.
That's what I said.
Poultrygeist is related to the meta pigeon.
Ooh. Aww. But is it related to REO Teabaggin?
Ooh.
One of my other favorite screen names. REO Teabaggin was somebody that's on Reddit, I think. Do you know REO Speedwagon, the band?
Yes.
It's like that, except, well, I don't want to explain teabagging. Max, hey, for both of you,
Max says no.
Max says no. You've both had the experience of losing an important personal battle due to mistakes and damage rules. Mm. Crucible Grog and Four Corners Bow.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Do you still kick yourselves when you think of it, or have you accepted it as creating a better story point?
Well, since I didn't get my mentor captured by the opposing army, I appreciate it for the story beats, of course. Of course. Why the fuck, though? Like, why the fuck? I was rolling the D8s, and then you just start getting
You're in the groove.
In the moment, and then you're just grabbing dice.
And there's like like a speed element to it. You're like, I'm moving quick.
Wins. You don't want to like slow things down.
I don't know.
Fuck, it's stupid.
And it's something so simple. It was just on every roll. It would have been over so much faster if you'd been doing the D8.
Yeah.
But what, I mean, what can you do?
Two extra random potential.
Hindsight makes all the difference.
Rolling a lot. And
It made for a better story for Grog because he had the rematch with Kern and we did the damage correctly then and I won. If I had lost that second time, it would have fucking sucked even more.
Yeah.
But because you're a mentor.
One, so my mentor.
Holy crap.
Didn't have to.
Really did not want to see the opposite of that outcome.
No.
Nope.
No. I was like equally as pretty much dead.
Two points, three points? What was it, two?
She was 2 hit points down, and I went down. So, like, I gotten her before she hit, but I was at, like, 4 or 5 hit points. So it would have been, like, she would have dropped, revealed herself, and Jester and I are bleeding out, and then bar fight. Yeah.
Is there, like, a weird mistake or something you guys have made on the show that you still haven't forgiven yourself for?
Oh, yes.
Tell me what it is at once.
I know it's there. Oh,
my like meltdown during the Kraken fight, that was tough.
The Kraken fight was super hard. I know there are ones that if I thought about it, I could remember it, but I've repressed it so deeply and solidly.
Yeah.
I remember I did it for like a week and Laura was finally like, you gotta shut up about that shit.
Yeah.
No, not that me, Leah. I'm just kidding.
Imagining Laura getting really pissed at you.
Yeah, there are so many times where you're like, I wish I had just done the thing.
But Laura does not like it when people are hard on themselves.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's one of the things I love about her, is that she will actually provide perspective to help you be able to let go and go, like, because for you guys, if you make a mistake, the clock sort of resets the next week. You can't dwell on it too much because you have to play again right away.
Yeah.
But there's that other element of the fact that this shit fucking lives on the internet forever. Mm-hmm. And so then you have that to deal with, or you get tweets or whatever else and it reminds you of it. But you kind of have to lose it pretty, you kind of have to like, learn and move on quickly, right?
And accept it for like what it is. Even if it's not going or went the way that you wanted it to, it's still an amazing story, maybe with just a different outcome than you were hoping for. Like, for instance, when I used Craven Edge too much and then rolled the 20 and then a 1 with disadvantage and died.
Just dropped dead,
right? Brought me back. Everything's cool. We're going to fight Kevdak, and nobody in the group wants to let me use Craven Edge anymore. And I was like, okay, but hold on.
Wait. Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah,
let me use one more time. They're like, no, it's bad for you, Grog. And I was like, I love all of you in and out of this game, but I'm going to kill every one of you if you don't let me use this fucking sword one more time. I had to let it go, right?
Yep.
It's that sort of shit. And sure enough, outstanding outcome. But in the moment, you're like, I hate my life.
Yeah.
I know. That's good advice for the folks at home.
Yeah, wait, write it out.
Write it out. And sometimes those things can often become either very rewarding or very funny. So don't beat yourself up too hard.
I jumped off a cliff.
just rewatched that the other day.
Fucking splatted.
For some reason.
And after that, I was like, oh, I just felt so dumb.
There are moments in the show that you just need to go back. Sometimes you're just like, it's been a tough day. I need a laugh. The cows episode.
Yep.
I will watch that cows episode because I think like I'm just gonna watch part of it, and then I'm like, no, I gotta see the buildup.
Yeah.
I gotta see the aftermath.
Yeah.
I gotta see the whole thing.
That is my Marisha line from campaign 1, which is, "You are lying. You are lying.
He's like, you're super dead. Yeah. And I'm like, you fucking liar.
You're lying. You are lying.
He's like, you took 973 points of damage.
300 and something.
Yeah. It was like 300 and something.
I was also, like, in that moment, I was like, please. Like, I would have been, we had already so had, good. Like, resurrection fatigue. Like, yeah.
It would have been like, great. We had to fight.
Ridiculous. Yeah. It would have been ridiculous if Laura hadn't had that. If Vex hadn't had that diamond, that gem or whatever from Tarion.
Oh, yeah, because she's and like, then, oh, I have Revivify coin
from that Tarion. Tarion gave her.
Like, could you imagine the Revivify ritual after that death? Like,
No.
So, Saren Rae, look.
She's kind of, you know.
Like, but stupid as fuck.
We could use her, I guess. She did just jump off a 3,000-foot cliff.
Please don't ask how she died.
And then
that's
turned
what I was
into a goldfish.
Please don't ask how this happened.
Before she hit the water.
Why? Why does she deserve to
fly?
Yeah. All sorts of flying creatures, but I chose a goldfish.
And she's from the Arishar. You can just fly.
We all saw where your brain went, too. It was like, I'm going into the water. I'm going to be a fish. And we're like, oh fuck. This is not going the way you want it to.
Can I have a moment where I was validated for a second?
Yep.
Friends of ours, Emily and Murph from College Humor, Emily Axford.
Yeah.
He showed her that clip because she was playing a druid. And her first react, he showed her and he was doing the like, the watching her watch it thing, and then I eat it and die, and he's like laughing and looking at it, and she goes,
why?
What, why? That makes total sense to me.
And go.
I was like,
oh, dang.
Yes!
Great minds.
Uh-huh. There are other goldfish out there.
There are other goldfish, so.
Yeah.
Thanks, Emily.
That's amazing.
Much
that was
love.
The easiest episode for Max to figure out a pre-show bit for. We bought a goldfish.
The goldfish.
And it's
right.
Still alive. Marisha.
I think he's lying.
You what?
What?
Don't interrupt. NennerB15 wants to know, when Dairon asked Bo if she trusted the Mighty Nein, Bo said, kinda. Was this Bo being truthful, or was she covering because she thought Dairon might disapprove of her attachment to the team?
No, she's fucking kinda is very appropriate for the Mighty Nein.
It is sort of where their generous. Relationship is at. Yeah.
Like, look at Caleb's history, look at Nott's history, look at like Ford who vomits up salt water on occasion, and kinda. I don't think she thinks at this point that anybody would maliciously do anything, but
maybe. Ford would.
Not commenting.
Well, answer this then, Travis, from Probably Shirtless.
Probably Shirtless? Great name. It's a good username right now.
One thing I have noticed is a sort of tough love embrace to how Ford interrogates people, i.e. not wanting to hurt the bugbear this episode and promising they will be okay, but intimidating the hell out of them. Is this linked to how Vandran treated Ford or something else entirely? Tell us now, please. Tell us now.
The fucking deep cut.
It is, so tell us the answer, please.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, that is correct. Yeah, Vandran would very often say, nobody cares, keep going, right? Like, the tough love part of it is huge, right? Like, you can complain all you want to, but nobody's going to care about your problems as much as you do. So just pick it up and keep going. I think the intimidation part is just that I looked down at the character sheet finally one day and saw, because of all the things that I had selected, he had like a +8 to intimidation. So I was like, I need to start being more of a dick.
Yeah,
to people that can make shit happen.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's also just, it's just kind of what he knows, whether it was at the orphanage or tough love at the docks or being on the ship and, you know, being like, you can feel sorry for yourself as long as you want to. It's just going to hold you back, right?
Wow.
As soon as you get over that, other people will stop thinking about it if you're not, so.
Good life advice, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. His foot's on top of the other one.
Yeah, truth. Truth, right here. Boom. See it?
Well.
This is how it happens.
Before Travis's, both of his feet start falling asleep and he starts doing ungodly things with them, let's give away Fan Art of the Week.
Fan Art of the Week!
Dad.
Yeah.
This week's fan art winner for Campaign 2, Episode 54, was sent in by Ennis Jackson at Drowsy Draws. Oh, asked a question earlier, too. Nice. Congrats, Ennis. Double whammy. Let's take a look.
Ooh.
Hey. Oh, did you see, this one?
Oh my gosh,
everybody.
It's so cute. It's everybody.
Oh my god.
Oh,
look how good it is.
That is so good.
Look at that style.
That full shit,
so
good. Look at Deucey.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Is that Terry down there in the lower right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, with the eyelashes?
With the glass of wine.
Adele Twiggett and Frumpkin. Oh, goodness.
Great job.
Alora with Matt.
Fantastic. Oh, a headless trinket. Great. That's what Sam wanted to see.
Monster.
Thank you to everyone who submitted. Congrats to you, Ennis Jackson. You have won this Spalted Tamarind tabletop tray.
That's hot.
From our friends at Wormwood Gaming.
So nice.
Make sure to check them out at wormwoodgaming.com. You can also enter our weekly contest by emailing
covering up the logo, Vanna White.
Fan art gifts to submit. TalkSmoking.com. Rules for our contest are available at critroll.com. Man, this one smells really good. Take a whiff.
Before your days as a bounty hunter, were you also a hand model?
Hey, me?
Do you want to sniff this too?
You know, I could have done some hand modeling, but I do moisturize, and I also I don't leave when I go to the tanning bed. I leave my hands out.
Out of the bed.
Yeah, which is really awkward because people put change in my hands and stuff as they walk by. Moving on.
You get 75 cents.
Yeah, go buy me a Costco dog afterwards. Best hot dogs in the world are at Costco. Are y'all sleeping on this? Do you know about this?
No, I don't know about
Greg?
It.
Greg? Don't nod, it's a video show.
I need an audible reaction.
Jesus Christ. We mic'd him, and he's still nodding.
Like
he's wearing a mic, and he's still nodding. Okay. Say again?
IKEA meatballs and Costco hot dogs?
Well, the IKEA meatballs are horse meat.
Well,
I read that article.
On that too, apparently.
Wait, is that?
You didn't hear about that? They found horse meat in the IKEA meatballs.
I don't know.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. All of you have to stop.
Something tells me we're going to get a package of meatballs sent for Game Ranch in 2 weeks.
That's terrible. Sorry. We do not condone horse meat. And I'm just saying.
No, you can't eat horses. You make glue out of them, right?
Don't tell Biscuit. Sorry, Biscuit.
Gary is not happy about this conversation.
No.
Travis, Luop82517 asks, how did it feel to be on the opposite end of a conversation with a low intelligence character in the form of the bugbear?
Great. Felt amazing. It was nice to be the manipulator instead of the manipulated.
Yes.
That was some good stuff. That was good back and forth between you and Matt.
He was such a sweetheart. I felt bad for that guy. Get your head back in that window. And poor guy, we totally gave him blue balls. He was getting his like sweet freak sex dream interrupted.
He would have died.
Oh, man.
Killed everybody.
You don't know that. No, you're right. No,
is this a cautionary tale to not masturbating?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I don't know if that's the takeaway, but...
That's a bad takeaway.
Look, it's healthy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's fat. It's natural.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Just don't do it until you answer this question from Runtime Error. Marisha Bo seems to respect Iron's advice and looks up to her as a mentor. How seriously is she going to take her advice about not getting too attached to people, and how is it going to change the way she interacts with the rest of the Mighty Nine from here on out? Yeah, I was wondering about this because...
That was tough. It was funny. She said that, and I could just hear Sam Riegel on the other side of the table going, oh.
Yeah.
He just did this look like, oh. And I was like, that's right, feel my pain. I don't know, man. So I'm packing that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna take
a bit. No quick answer there?
No quick answer there.
It's an interesting place when, in any type of storytelling medium, the mentor character, you know, you come to a crossroads with that mentor character where they either ask you to do something you don't agree with or you realize that some of their teachings maybe led you down a wrong path or whatever yeah. else. And it's an interesting, I love that relationship in storytelling because it provides for so many different twists and turns
for
that
sure.
the character and the mentor ultimately can take, right?
Yeah. For sure. And like, yeah, it kind of teaches you that just because they're your elder or your mentor doesn't mean they're always right. And mm-hmm. Bo kind of got a little crack of that for the first time with Dairon when she was talking about, you know, being like kind of bigoted towards the Kryn and being like,
yeah.
And I was like, wait, you were the one who told me not to trust
yeah.
anybody or take anything mm-hmm. for face value. Like that was on the show. That was in her yeah. first training thing. Yeah. And it was like, and now you're telling me that, you know, don't be silly. This is one-sided. So that was like her first like, what?
Do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I mean, it hasn't gotten, it's going to take more for anything like that. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Interesting.
We'll see.
Interesting.
Hopefully Dairon doesn't die in, in okay. Gorjranas.
Don't put it out there. Matt might be listening.
Don't put that out there. Matt might be watching.
Sorry. Don't listen, babe.
Travis.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
You got this.
Rut-row.
Help me, Danny. You're my only hope. Kraymet Brevetanarian.
The last part, probably not right.
Aaron.
Oh, what did I say?
Kraymet. Crowmet. Brexit. Aaron wants to know. Mm-hmm. Oh, RIP Brexit. If Caleb's go-to line for Ford impersonation is Eldritch Blast, does that mean Ford is running around yelling it in combat? This is something I told them yesterday when I saw this question, I was like, is he yelling Eldritch Blast as he runs around?
You bet your sweet ass he is.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
Doesn't matter if it's a single or a double. He is going, Eldritch Blast!
Eldritch
he
Blast.
He is a Dragon Ball Z fan, and that attack cannot be loosed without the proper wordage. Eldritch Blast!
I just wonder what everybody else is like.
Yes.
What was that? No, ignore him. He's just blasting again.
Every 6 seconds, that shit is just coming out like fucking rapid fire. Eldritch Blast! 4. 3, 2, yeah. Eldritch Blast. Okay, porn. We got it.
We get it.
It's like bad timing on VO lines. Just too many.
Just wait until he tries to cast suggestion on some son of a bitch. He's like, suggestion. It doesn't work. He's like, really?
What's your suggestion?
He's like, what do you want, a place to eat? What yeah. do you mean?
Yeah. Caleb, are we not saying the spells out loud?
Yeah. God, remember when you guys were here for the Campaign So Far episode and Sam said, not thinks, if Caleb's the leader, why is this guy talking all the time? That was one of the funniest things. Oh, man. Marisha.
Yeah.
Joe.B wants to know, what is more important to Bo, the genuine familial bond she has with the Mighty Nein or making the mentors she respects proud of her, but both probably think she was denied by her family? Does she hope she can find a way of maybe having both, even if they conflict? So that's tough, right? Because
crossroads.
Yeah, that is that crossroads.
Yeah. Yes. Like yes.
But the family. Okay, but I see you can't answer that. Ah, oh, God damn it.
It's tough.
Someone text Matt and tell him we need a Bo arc stat. Right? I don't give a fuck about that goblin's husband.
I don't know.
The
character's probably pretty shallow, right?
I do.
That's good.
You've yeah. had the most time, I would say, to cultivate said backstory because we've delved into yours, I would say, the least out of everybody's.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and we,
there's a lot of Jester to be found still. There's a lot
little,
of Caduceus.
Yeah.
But we've had a little bit of Jester and the gentleman stuff, you know, mm-hmm. but like.
I think Bo and
you've Caduceus, had the most yeah. time to prepare, but you still probably don't feel prepared, right? That's what everybody seems to tell me.
Feel prepared.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, there's
Matt.
Definitely been stuff that I've kind of had time to like flesh out or like things that I had mentioned in my backstory then gone back and added to, but like there's also the truth that like Bo is young. She's a human in her 20s.
Yeah.
Only so much can happen to her.
Yeah.
In 20 years.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's
we'll see.
Now.
It's happening a lot now.
Yeah, it is. Travis.
Mhm.
Cacophonous Kazoo. Ford acted really decisively this episode,
yeah,
interrogating the bugbear, climbing into the well, and going after the fleeing sucky guys. Is he being reckless or just taking charge as the situation warrants?
Yeah, take it. Well, not taking charge, just taking initiative. Half of that is just wanting to get things going. The other half is Travis's gamer timer going like, oh, fuck it, I'm doing something.
Really? Yeah. I haven't really known that side of you.
Yeah, no, right?
What if we had a show where people could see, I'm trying to load the Game Ranch, the job, the second we went live today, and he blows me up and sends a car flying into my face and kills me, and while I'm trying, we literally just went live.
Keep it going. Action's gotta be hot.
That is Travis as a gamer.
Gotta be hot, gotta be fire.
Dying. I was, like, back behind.
The best was that y'all's, the camera was only on you.
Yeah, so you just got to see him hurling shit towards me on fire.
At one point in time, you see cops like kind of pull up to the other side of the frame.
I was just trying to lead him behind him. I think I even died in the background.
Like, jumped him through a wall and it just died.
Yeah, there you go.
Has to go watch.
Thursday morning, this episode of Game Ranch will be on YouTube. Yeah. You can watch it. My God, what a mess.
Or subscribe and watch the VOD.
What a mess.
Yeah, some of it is, and I'm all for being cautious in certain areas, but things where I think it's low danger, even though a lot of our party was tapped and we were riding the borderline. I suppose there's a risk in going like, I'm gonna go down to the bottom of the well and make sure that this is actually what we're looking for, instead of going and sleeping and recharging everybody and then coming back and finding out that's not actually where it was anyway, mm-hmm, right? Just a little closure on things. And then,
yeah,
I don't know, I think part of it is also, like, I really want to get Nott to where she needs to go, mm-hmm, you know? And the more time we spend in the city, the more time we're not really, like, doing that, you know? And I know we're trying to be careful, but there was just a part of me that wanted to just push it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I get it, yeah.
Henry's doing his patrol.
He's doing his patrol every, he knows, it's the same time.
Is it like 45 minutes in?
No, it's 57 minutes in, but it's every episode right towards the end. He gets up, he walks to every single person and says hi, and they all pet him, and then he walks back and lays down. It's so weird.
That's weird. You know what? Sometimes the game is like a reflection of your day or your week, because some days you got to push the little red piece in the stained glass window and send everything into a shit spiral. And other days, I got patience for days. I'm good to sit there and eat 12 wintergreen lifesavers. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and like this past Thursday's game, I saw a lot of like talk leading up to the game being like, oh man, they're going to be slap happy and giddy, and because like all the Kickstarter, but we were just like, like 1,000-yard stare before the game. And yeah, it's hard to... you know, we try to take time to cool down a little bit before a game, but
it's hard.
You know, it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Plus when the spotlight is on you, right? When the story spotlight is on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're out of time.
Are we?
But.
No, ask number 18.
But. Oh, wait, hold on. But. Oh, shit. Yeah. Marisha Borgavino wants to know, was there a temptation to tell Dairon about the beacon? Does Bo not trust Dairon with that information? Forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Bo is weighing all the information she has, because she knows that it's
Was there a temptation?
Valuable.
I didn't even think of that.
Shit balls.
That didn't come up at all, you scandalous little minx.
Say anything, but
wow.
I would never describe Bo as a scandalous little minx. But that's cool. If this was 1945,
did you tell her about the
episode of Boardwalk Empire.
I didn't tell her.
It's a scandalous little minx.
See?
You see? Come get your papers on the corner.
Yeah, it's from Love Actually.
Papes.
When he was like looking at the portrait of.
Did you just invoke Love Actually?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, before we go tonight, ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, we are going to ask some Search for Grog questions.
Oh, awesome!
Because the fans have asked us to do that.
Yes.
And we've had four people on so far. You guys are the next two. Marisha, Katie Utke wants to know, what was it like stepping back into Keyleth after such a long time away?
Oh, man. It was great. It was like warm, comfy blanket, yeah. Like when you put your robe on at home and just sit by the fire. Yep. It's just a good, warm, fuzzy feeling. Yeah. It was
great. Somebody clean your car for you. You get back in, you're like, yeah.
My favorite.
I had to like go back into awkward brain. It was fun.
I don't know if we got any pictures of this. Maybe we did. I'll ask Chris, but. In the green room, minutes before the show, everyone looking at their character sheets.
No.
And you had pages of stuff out. Everybody had so much crap because, yeah.
Marisha specifically, because it's pages of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, pages, literally.
And the panic that was like, oh my God, I was in this every week at yeah. one point.
I was like, no fucking wonder I was stressed out.
Yep.
Damn.
Travis, X-Dragon Rider X wants to know, where did you get the inspiration to create Sir Bertrand Bell? That was such a great character.
It certainly had nothing to do with Gilderoy Lockhart or me being a Harry Potter fan. It was 100% that.
Yeah, very Gilderoy yeah. Lockhart.
Yeah, that, and I think like Runaway Bride was on the TV, and I was like, Richard Gere is a handsome little son of a bitch. I'm gonna make an older Silver Fox looking
oh, nice.
Character.
Yeah.
Give us an older guy that's full of shit.
He's yeah. been Silver Fox his entire life.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
He was
yeah.
like 20 and he was old.
Seriously.
It's crazy.
Yeah, just one of those old handsome guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that'll happen
the...
to me.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Aw, Steve,
thanks,
you're so
Steve.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you want us to tell you?
Nothing now. Ask? Steve sealed the deal. What are you doing after this? You want to come over and watch the Bachelor finale with me, Steve?
Nope.
I'm 0 for 10. Rebecca Justino has a question for Travis. No. Let's ask this one. Marisha, because I just asked Travis one. Alita Stewart, 15. How did you navigate Keyleth's grief? Was it something you thought over, or did it develop naturally over role play?
Oh, no, I thought about it deeply. I thought about it for a long time after the game ended.
Sure.
That was weird. Like, real-life grief for fictional characters. And then also, like, the kind of grief of retiring our campaign was kind of mixed emotions. There was that grief, but we talked a lot with Matt because we didn't want it to be like a bummer, but also didn't want to ignore the fact that, you know, the elephantitis in the room, to quote Brian
sure.
Foster.
I didn't say that. What the fuck are you talking about? That's not on tape. Jesus Christ. That's fucking insensitive.
The route of, kind of using this immediate trip after all of this as a way of kind of escapism mm-hmm. and compartmentalization.
I'll deal with it
there.
After we get Grog back.
Yeah, anything, distract me, please. Yeah.
You're welcome, I did it for you.
Thanks, Grog.
Give you time to heal and process
you.
And work through your grief.
I had to just go on a little walkabout.
Yeah, you find you
plane
in there,
abyss.
All right.
Plane of Pandemonium.
Come find me when you're done.
What did you think when you, when Liam busted his character out?
Oh, fuck you, bro. Fuck you.
Yeah.
No, and we've talked about, he's like, were you actually mad? I'm like, no, of course I wasn't actually mad. But in Keyleth's eyes, mm-hmm. it's like a walking, you know, mm-hmm. billboard yeah. of a reminder.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. in front of you at all times, so.
And that's what Liam wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's right.
Travis.
Yep.
Chris Patterson asks, this isn't the first time you've pulled out an actual 20 or two in a huge moment for Grog. Between the Empyrean and Kevdak, which was the most satisfying?
Man. I genuinely thought I would never top the Kevdak moment. And just because it was story and the importance to Grog, Kevdak, I think, is always still the top. But in that live audience, with that energy and that wave of sound and just the probability, like the percentages were so low for that to happen. It was, I told everybody afterwards, like I've scored touchdowns that didn't mean that much to me.
Didn't feel that.
Yeah,
yeah, that as good
moment
as that.
Was amazing.
I was
amazing.
So glad Daniel was right behind you. It was the only time we've ever been happy he was somewhere.
Yeah.
So he could walk over in his bandana and yeah. get a shot of that 20.
Yeah, I don't know how I
what
how
dice
I dropped
is that?
That one,
could
so.
I have that? I would love to roll that against my players.
Sure.
That thing needs to be
sure.
cast in resin.
Yeah, that's the and it's the same Keb Deck one because I just have one
it's
set of dice.
Yeah, you only have he only has one set of dice. That's why all of his damage rolls as Grog took 4 hours.
I have a couple extra D20s and a couple extra like D12s just for when I got crazy, but I never use them. I just roll singles because I don't like rolling too many dice at once.
You carry a lot of singles.
You know it.
To the bank.
What's wrong with me?
I don't know where that was.
Any
going.
Of you?
I don't know. What's wrong with me? Do we have time? Oh, hey, let's talk about After Dark for a second.
Yeah.
So we stopped doing it for a little while. We said we're going to talk to you guys about it later. So we have some ideas.
Yeah.
And we're trying to see how they're coming along.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll keep
if
you guys
people want them.
We'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah.
We have some very interesting ideas.
Really?
I think we've fun.
Yeah. How much is a helicopter?
In GTA or in real life?
In real life, but one that looks like mine in GTA. That's
too
hot
much.
Pink.
Too much? Yep.
Can we...
Six figures.
Oh, really?
Yep.
At least.
Oh, Sam's got that kind of money laying around in his mattress that we shot the promo on.
Yeah, can we just talk about the beer that's in his champagne flute in the Kickstarter video?
It's beer?
It's beer.
I think
that thing has a head on it that's like a quarter of a
percent. Wow.
Yeah.
I think we handed it to him because we just thought of the joke in the moment super fast, and we're like, oh, go do that. And I don't think he knew it was beer. I think we have a take somewhere of him sipping it and going, that's beer.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Anticipating that.
One more search for Grog. Team Andy the Second, which character besides your own were you most happy to see in action again?
Percy.
Yes.
Percy was great.
God, I forgot
I
about
love
how
that silky, dark motherfucker.
I know. He's something
he thousands.
Was, oh man, and he like form. Nailed it.
That. And that one turn, the record-breaking damage
yes!
turn. Holy
yes!
shit! Unleash the beast.
What was it? He has such a his Percy lines. I'm just like, God, it was like
that,
no
that
time.
First one about how let's go kindly demand some help.
Yeah.
I just like I almost like, screamed. I was like, Percy, yes.
When Keyleth Tyson's asked him to help
genius.
Him,
he's
a genius. When Keyleth was like, help me, and he was like, I am helping him, helping run things.
He
is an improv genius.
He's so good.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, and then of course, like seeing Sam and Scanlan.
Yeah.
Back in the cube.
Oh.
It was pretty good.
Boy.
Hearing him do his little songies again.
That outfit was.
That and the first time Laura said, "Darling," I was
yeah, her voice.
Just
was
everything.
Amazing.
It felt like, I mean, same with Pike though. Same with Ashley when she was like, "Grog."
Oh. Yeah.
Grog, are you in there?
He's smart.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's a good boy. I was like, oh my god.
So good. It was like,
so
as soon as like someone says something again, and you're just like, my heart.
I know.
Well, I mean, we had an early Q&A, right? There was an early Q&A before the show started, and one of the questions was like, you guys ever thought about making like an animated series with your Vox Machina characters? And I had to be like,
girl, like,
patience.
That's right.
The Kickstarter
just
was right around the corner.
Yeah.
And so like that like, love and energy for those characters was the sweetest thing to send us into the, preparing for the Kickstarter that killed us the first day.
Man. That was a great episode. If you are one of the two or three people that hasn't seen The Search for Grog, it's available now at youtube.com. Just kidding, slash.
Oh, reversal.
Critical Role. That's all time we have for tonight.
Yeah.
I have to rush home to see the Bachelor finale. I am very invested this season.
Mm-hmm. Is it a two-parter? I thought it was last night.
Dude, they're doing this bullshit. Imagine if on Tox we opened and I'm like, are we on the internet? And they do stuff. I do the announcements.
Yep.
I read the Crit Roll stats and I'm like, and now, let's discuss the episode tomorrow night. Chris Harrison comes out with his baby hands and he's like, tomorrow, we're gonna, and you're like, I want that job.
Oh,
that's
man.
The only job I would want more than this
man.
One. I want to host The Bachelor.
You.
When he retires, ABC, listen to me. I know you're watching.
Yeah,
look at the size of these hands. Look at the size of these hands.
Yeah.
Also, I'm very cheap. I come with minimal legal liabilities. Travis, would you say that that's...
Completely inaccurate.
Okay. I'm popular with...
Nope.
People that watch that show.
You smell good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You do smell good.
You do 2 years of trying to, you know, when people meet me at conventions, you know, I'm a hugger. I like to hug people every once in a while. If someone's comfortable with it, I'll ask them. And they go, oh my God. I initially was going to say no to the hug because of the cabbage thing, you know? But now I'm walking away smelling like, you know, lavender and, you know, I'd use a lot of patchouli oil. I put those down the shirt.
Is that what that is?
That's what you're supposed to do with it. Max gave me a hemp necklace he made. Smells really good. I'm wearing it under this.
Max is very good at crafts.
I think that's garlic. He's a vampire.
Should we have Max do a crafting show on the channel?
Yes.
That was Max in the horse costume, if you guys saw the Dark Horse promo, by the way. Wearing those nets.
What was it?
Oh, that was Biscuit?
That was Biscuit.
Who changed it to Biscuit? I named him Tim. He was named Tim.
That was Talison and Liam.
It was a debate. No, it was a debate. I was like, I like Tim. Pitch me on Biscuit. And then, this is true.
Pitch me on Biscuit.
I was like,
you guys,
what are you
doing? Is what happens in our channel. Yeah. Every day, it's pitch me on Biscuit.
Pitch me on why Biscuit is funnier.
Yeah,
and Taliesin made the point where with him in, with Max in his Coldplay shirt and his fishnet gloves, he was like, he looks like the Cure shirt, not a Coldplay.
There's a difference between the Cure and Coldplay.
Sorry.
Let's rush to make that distinction.
You can get either shirts at Hot Topic, though.
Yes,
I know this because we had the debate.
We sent Jerry.
They're on the same Pandora channel.
We sent Jerry to get the blow dryer today, and I said, this is the worst thing you guys have done to Jerry. And Vinny goes, I sent him to Hot Topic last week. anyway, you were saying. They pitched you on Biscuit.
I said, why not Tim? And he was like, look at him. He looks like he could be a Tim. As he's standing there, he looks like he is a Tim. And I was like, you're right. I guess let's try Biscuit. So Biscuit ended up being the one.
Ash and I love it when animals have like two human of names. Like
Richard?
Like a dog named Matt.
Yeah. Henry.
Exactly. We almost named him Dan.
That's right, you did.
We almost named Dan Doherty.
Yep.
Yeah, we almost, but he was such a Henry.
Kyle.
Well, I love you guys.
That's great.
Henry, is it time to go home?
Let's go, Henry.
Oh, is this the new
walking
time?
Off.
This is the new.
Bye, Brian.
Yeah, sure.
Bye, guys.
So, Travis, I appreciate the attempt at flirting.
Bye.
I appreciate the jester flirtation attempts.
I tried.
You did try.
Parking but man, the gaze from the dragon lady was. That was not happening.
Can anyone validate this parking ticket? Is there anyone that could?
Okay, that's it.
Shut it down.
Thank you for listening to Talks Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. If you like this episode, please drop a review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you'd like to know more about Critical Role and the shows on our channel, check out our website at criticalrole.com. Talks Machina airs live on Twitch at twitch.tv/criticalrole on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific. See you next time.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joes, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.